Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for this body, this my brothers and sisters, this fellowship, Lord, the privilege to serve you and to serve one another and to serve, and the privilege it is for me to serve them. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would direct every step tonight, that it would be in complete unity and harmony of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, thank you for all of the donations, everything, Lord, that you have increased and the opportunity to, Lord, bless those who need a hand up and a blessing in this community and wherever they're coming from. Lord, they come from all over. So, Lord, we pray that you would go before us that day, Lord, the divine appointments, Lord, and stretch us to meet the needs. Lord, I pray that as we look into your wisdom, Lord, tonight, we just, that you would, Lord, that you would tune the carburetors and the timing, and just that we need this, Lord, to hear from your word and to hear your heart. So, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church tonight. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. And so, I'm getting ready to go out to the Bible Institute in Joshua Springs, so I have some stuff to cover still in Mark, and so I've been doing both. So pray for me that, you know, and I will. I'll get it done. I always do. I am a professional crammer, so. All right, let's pick up at verse 25 of Proverbs 20. It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterward to reconsider his vows. And there's actually a warning in the scriptures. Don't be unwise and make a vow to the Lord. In fact, the Lord suggests that you not do it because he knows you, he knows me, you know, and that we can be a little bit unfaithful at times. You know, Peter was great at making vows. Even if they turn from you, Lord, I would never turn. I'll never deny you, Lord. You know, when the things get tough, and what did you, Peter? And we know what Peter did, right? Jesus was arrested. He's taken in to the Sanhedrin. He's beaten. He's sitting there, and Peter's there sitting around the fire. And you know, some girl starts asking, "Oh, you're one of them, right?" "Oh, no, I'm not." "Oh, you're with Jesus, right?" "No, no, I'm not." But Jesus told him, right? "Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." But that Peter was he liked to claim that he was rock solid and that he would never turn from the Lord or run from, you know. And you all know the story of Jephthah from the Judges. Jephthah was a judge, and he made one of the saddest vows probably in the scriptures, that as he sought the Lord and asked the Lord, you know, to guide and for victory, he said that if the Lord did that, that he would sacrifice the first person that he saw as he would go and, you know, as he would go back, whether it was first living thing, animal. He was thinking that he'd probably see an animal or something like that, or one of his servants would come out to greet him. And so the Lord performed, obviously, what he had promised, and as Jephthah was going back, his only daughter came walking out, and he realized right then the foolishness of the vow that he had made to the Lord. And so, you know, just, Lord, I swear on my mother's grave that, you know, we do these just ridiculously stupid things. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people come in and they're here and you could see that they've come in because there's been trouble or trials in their lives that they're going through, and maybe they've prayed for salvation, and And then you find out that whatever it is that they're facing, whether it's in court, legal issues, or relational issues, that it wasn't a profession but a petition that was laid out before the Lord. And when the Lord doesn't do what they were, if you do this, Lord, then I'll follow you. And when the result that they're looking for, doesn't come through, they vanish. And, don't make those deals. It's not wise. And so in the scripture, in a number of places, it says, be careful about the vows that you make to the Lord. Because the vows that we make and we don't keep, we're lying to the Lord. And we're, and understand that how that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. So a wise king sifts out the wicked and brings the threshing wheel over them. Gosh, we need a wise king here in the United States of America, don't we? And there will be a wise king that will come, and he's going to thresh out the wicked. So the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. God knows the heart of man. And without the oil, we're just lamps. You just think of that. We know that what Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And Jesus is light. And we're called to be light also. We just saw that in Philippians. That we're to shine. Our life is to shine forth who we are in Christ, but who Christ is in us, that understanding of Christ abiding in our lives. And so much, even in my preparation for Mark, and then, in the studying of the Proverbs, really the studying of the whole Bible, it is a challenge to you and to I, to those that profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Do we believe it? And are we surrendered to what Christ wants to do in our lives? Are we surrendered to him? Are we all in? Are you all in? Because the Lord knows if you are. And the Lord knows if I am. And you know my story. I wasn't all in for a lot of my life. Bill wanted to do what live how Bill wanted to live and what he wanted to do. And I lived a life of justifying, even to the extent that from an early age I knew the Lord had his hand on me. Yet I went out and did whatever I wanted to do. I never walked in surrender, complete surrender to the Lord until that morning that the guys prayed over me and I was tired and I finally said, Lord, I give up. I'm tired. I give up. My life is yours. And here's the thing. I look back on that day, and I say it jokingly to a certain extent, but it's really true. I must have finally meant it. And God knew that I had finally meant it. He knew my heart. And this is what God has done in my life. And he'll do the same for all of us. But that walk with the Lord is a constant check, right? We need a check on our heart. We need a check on our lives. What's going on? Are we really living like we believe what the scriptures say? Are we truly living a life of holiness and in submission and surrender to him so that we can truly be a light and a witness and a testimony in the darkness? Man, the darkness is getting worse and worse. It's getting worse and worse. We should be shining brighter and brighter. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness upholds his throne. In Psalm 89:14, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Speaking of Christ's throne, mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn, our strength, is exalted. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. Certainly can't wait till that throne is established. You know, and here's the thing, that throne is established in the hearts of man. Anybody that will come, right? If anybody can confess with their mouth Jesus Lord, gives them the throneship, right? The throne of their hearts and their lives, that they shall be saved. It is a lordship issue. And we talk about this. And I was just listening, I can't remember, it was on the radio or something like that, somebody talking about it. You know, if the Lord's the co-pilot of your life, your life is not in order. That's disorder. The proper person is not on the throne of your life if he's the co-pilot. So give him the pilot, the throne of your life. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. You know, obviously, when we were younger, physical strength. We were known by our physical strength. That was right. The way that we worked and we went about things. Then, as we get older, we start using our mind. Work smarter, not harder. Right? Know your limitations. This is a hard one for me. My body is falling apart. I've always been very strong. And pray for me, because Sam and Michael and Jeremiah all came to me and said, we've got a lot of youth now, and I think it's time to bring back slip and slide kickball to the memorial picnic. You know I can't pass up a challenge. And we haven't played it since the last time and we lost. So pray that I start stretching now and preparing myself, because I'm doing it, right? So, and so are some of you. Don't be laughing. But know your limitations. If you're not supposed to be a part of slip and slide kickball, don't come out there, because I don't want to be blamed. But it's true, you know, the physical starts going out. We start having to get a little bit wiser and smarter about how we operate and do things. Clay used to come and bear hug me, and I'd have to tell him to stop because I thought he was going to break my back. And he would, but you know, I think it was recently we're talking about things. He goes, yeah, I used to be able to do this, and I used to be able to lift this and everything else, and I can't do, it's getting harder. You know, you start noticing, huh, Clay? Yeah, same with me. So, and you all know what we're talking about. That's just wisdom. So, don't be changing your hair color. It's all good. It's your splendor, you know. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Yeah, well, you know, there are still countries that give blows and stripes to thieves and everything else, and there's some wisdom in that. Y'all remember back when, I don't remember who that kid was, I was still living in California, I think, that tried to steal some stuff in, what was that, Thailand or Singapore? American. Huh? Yeah, I got caned. And we're complaining, everybody in America is complaining about it, and I'm sitting there going, that kid deserves that. You know? You know why he did it? Because the parents were the ones that were first ones trying to get him out of it, you know? I'll tell you what, my parents, if I did it, I deserved whatever was coming, you know, to me. There's some wisdom in that. And even my brother, you know, I think I've told the story, but my brother said, you know, when I started driving and I got a car And my brother was the BMO. He hung around with all the biggest, but he was the biggest kid at school, man. And he said, anybody messes with you, you let me know. Anybody messes with my car, you let me know. Except if it's your mouth that gets you in trouble, then you'll get whatever you deserved, you know. So the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. You know, when you think of, and it's true, you think of Cyrus, Isaiah, prophesied of Isaiah, of Cyrus 180 years, at least 180 years before Cyrus became king, that Cyrus named him by, God named Cyrus by name 180 years before he was the king of Persia, and said that Cyrus is my man. And that it would be Cyrus who would release Ezra and Zerubbabel and the children of Israel, the remnant that would go back to rebuild the temple. And to truncate the story of Alexander, but when Alexander was in the midst of his conquest and he had defeated Tyre, he had turned his eyes to the south, but he had had a vision. The Lord had visited him, and so when he went down into Judea, into Jerusalem, he met with a priest that was clothed in white. God had set the whole thing up, and Alexander spared Israel because the Lord had directed Alexander's heart. It's in a fascinating story, and I didn't reread it to give you all the ins and outs, but even Alexander the great conqueror, God directed him to be merciful to Israel. So every man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. In Luke 18:9, it says, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were right, that they were righteous, and despised others. This is talking about religious people. Look, there are a lot of arguments that come up in the church because of our natural need to be right. And to prove ourselves right, to know that we're right, and we need to be careful with that. That's the way the Pharisees were, and they didn't even know how wrong they were. But it says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners and unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm right. I'm doing right. I'm doing the right things, Lord. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. A broken and a contrite spirit, he will by no means turn away. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. I don't care, and I'm just going to say it this way, and it might seem harsh, but too bad. I don't care if you're right. And you shouldn't be concerned if I'm right. The only thing that matters in this place is if God is right. And what I'm presenting to you is right? Right in God's eyes. That be Bereans. I'm not saying don't check me to see if I'm, you know, blowing smoke. You know, your baloney meter goes off, you check it out. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. You know, it was never about the sacrifice. Obviously, the Lord in 1 Samuel and talking about Saul. Samuel had to tell Saul, has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. It was never about the sacrifice that the people brought, but the heart of the people that brought the sacrifice that was important. And it became a rite. That's the danger of rite and ritual and tradition in the church. There's nothing wrong with ritual and tradition in the church. But a rite, you know, can become a rut. And you get stuck in a rut. And then you start relying on the rite instead of coming with the right heart. And so we got to be careful about those things. So to do righteousness and justice more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. It was never about the sacrifice. The purpose of the sacrifice was so the one that was bringing the offering or the sacrifice understood the brevity, how serious sin was to God, and the fact that it was going to cost a life and take blood to cover the sin. And we think, oh, look what I'm doing. Look at all the sacrifices I'm making for God. Be careful. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. And we know what Proverbs 6, that this is actually part of Proverbs 6:16. These things the Lord hates, yes, seven. These six things that the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates it. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. But those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Yeah. You know, making a quick buck, we need to be careful. Yeah, I was thinking about the culture that we live in today, this generation. And so many, I know a lot of people that are in the trades or own businesses that are in the trades, you know, that they have the young people that will come to work. They'll work for a week, week and a half. They get paid and they disappear for a week because they just made their bud money, you know, or their beer money or their pot money, and they're looking to make a quick buck so they can do, you know, the things that they want to do. And it's craziest thing. I mean, none of us were raised this way, so it's so hard to understand. And then they'll show up a week later thinking that they still have the job, that what they just did was, it was normal. Leading to poverty. This culture, this society culture that want everybody else, you know, to take care of them. And I don't know. I'm not going to go on a rant because it's just going to get me frustrated. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. We have a lot of lying tongues standing in pulpits today. Peter said this, 2 Peter 2:1, there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. You know, sowing seeds and, you know, give your faith, sow your seeds of faith, and pastor needs a new set, you know, a pair of alligator shoes. You get the alligator shoes for the Lord. He'll give you back, you know, just the insanity that's coming from pulpit for self-promotion and self-gain. I'm blessed. You know, I look back on when I became pastor and having to work part-time stipend here, working part-time, Lowe's with Denny, all those other things, and that point that the Lord finally opened the door and blessed, you know, to be supported in the ministry and by the body of believers here. And from the very beginning, I look, Lord, if you provide a way, I'll do it for free. That's always been kind of my heart. And you know, understand that, well, God takes care of me. I appreciate all your hearts. You know, don't get me wrong. God takes care of me. You don't have to worry about that. The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. They'll get what's coming to them. And the way of a guilty man is perverse, but as for the pure, his work is right. You can always tell. Look, the guilty always act guilty. Have you ever struggled with knowing that somebody's lying or that somebody did something by the way that they're acting and whether or not you need to call them out on it? I used to think nobody knew what I was doing. That was foolish. You read it on your face. I can't tell you how many times. You know, God gives that discernment when the time is right, that understanding of what's going on. You know, to be able to say, do you need prayer? What's going on in your life? You know, don't be afraid to do that. And come alongside someone that obviously is struggling. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. It's like dripping water, the last one, right? Like dripping water. It's like being in a... I think I asked that before. What are they trying to... Water, yeah, it's like being waterboarded. Like a drip, drip, drip. And understand, ladies, it's the same. We're not innocent here. And the idea is the understanding that that's man or a woman. Contentious, being a contentious spouse. Don't be contentious. We're to love one another, we're to cover one another's sins, we're to lift one another up and look past those things and support one another. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. Even neighbors are even hard relationships. You notice that? Anyway, Beth and I moved into a situation where there was a couple of neighbors that hated each other. I mean, they couldn't stand one another, and so we found ourselves in, you know, trying to heal things and not take sides and be neutral in it. And we heard this story, we heard that story, and you know, just praying, Lord, you know, we don't want to live in between the Hatfields and the McCoys and and stuff. And God's kind of worked that, you know, in our relationship with both of them and stuff like that. But we're called to love our neighbors. Love your neighbors. The soul of the wicked when the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in counsel. We understand that. That's what the scripture is saying. But what it's saying is, too, even the simple can learn from another's mistakes. When you were younger and you saw your brother or sister or somebody that you knew getting punished, did you take that in? Did you think about that? Oh, if I do that, I can get in trouble. Margie's shaking her head no. And she married Kevin anyways. So, but even, you know, when somebody did something wrong, you know, when my brother did something wrong, you know, I took notice of some of those things, not to do it or to devise a way to not get caught, but, right? But even the simple can learn from the mistakes of others. And that's wisdom. That's wise counsel for even our own lives, to learn from the mistakes of others. Don't go down those roads, right? The righteous God wisely considers the house of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. We don't need to water down the word to try and convince people that God loves them. The truth of the matter is, he's righteous and he is love, but he also is judged. The judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And that might turn or steer somebody in the path that they're going if they understood that. I remember a gentleman that used to go here, and he started kind of going back to some of the old life and getting involved in some things. And, you know, I had to text him. You know, he was driving down to 7 Mile and 6 Mile and doing some stuff, and bullet holes in his car. I said, look, you're going to end up in jail or dead if you continue that. And this is a man who professed to be a follower of Christ and fellowshiped with us for years and years and years. God is going to judge wickedness and overthrow those things. He knows what's going on. And he's in prison and still in prison. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. And we know that the Lord says, widows, we're to support, we're to do what we can to help out the poor and widows and orphans. A gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe behind the back, strong wrath. That's just the reality. You know, this isn't condoning bribery and slipping, you know, slipping somebody a C-note so that that you can get out of something. The Bible's pretty clear. God's pretty clear about, bribe. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. But this is the reality of why bribes and payoffs are slipped. It's to keep oneself out of trouble, basically. It is a joy for the just to do justice. That is, it's a joy to judge rightly, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote this in chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Nor can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so there's joy. There's a joy in judging rightly, assessing the situation correctly, and walking in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord opens our eyes to that and discerns those things. But we're not, don't pull back, you know, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. I'm just pointing out, you know, because I love you. And because I love you, I want you to know that this is where you're heading. You continue doing that. And so a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. A man who wanders from the way of common sense. Was it Mitch Albom? You know, I don't agree with everything Mitch Albom says, but I do like the premise of his show. Common sense is not all too common today. Seems very uncommon. You wander from God's eternal truths, you're going to end up in the assembly of the dead. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. One of the warnings is in the last days there would be that many will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And we know that there's a lot of spiritual wealth in following the Lord, but this is living luxuriously and living. A lot of people got caught 2008 and might happen again. People relying on their riches, living in luxury, not preparing for the future or what might come, not being wise in how they're living or what they're, you know, and being prepared for those things. I'm preparing for the return of Christ. I hope you're all preparing for the return of Christ. We won't need anything then, but my hard times might be coming. I want to worship the Lord. I think the Lord wants to be worshiped tonight. I'm just going to stop there. I didn't get nearly as far as I wanted to, but when have I ever? But I want, you know, I think I've gotten as far as the Lord wants. I think the Lord just wants to his people to worship in spirit and truth. That's what we're here for him. And so worship team, come up. Any one of those four songs. Maybe all four of the songs. Maybe the last three. Lord, just search our hearts. Lord, we just want to know that we are right with you and in the right place, the right heart. Lord, any of us struggling tonight and compromise, maybe we have sold out to the wrong thing, Lord, and allowed the wrong things in our lives. Lord, we just want to surrender again tonight, lay them at your feet. Lord, and just bask in your holiness and in your glory, in your righteousness. Lord, lift up our voices and our hearts and our minds to you. Lord, search our hearts, forgive us. Lord, cleanse us. Lord, in just a dirty world we live in, Lord, we want to be whole and right before you. And so bless this time, Lord. Join us here. Holy Spirit, move. Search our hearts. Search our minds. Heal. Lord, I pray that you would heal physically, spiritually. I know Tracy left, and I know it's physical. Lord, I just pray that you would touch her even as they head home. Lord, please be, and we just pray that you would dwell in the praises of your people, of your children tonight, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.